There is something strange occurring in America's national parks, and in these spin-off episodes of Spooky Island Radio, I will attempt to find out what. Missing 411 cases? Check. Bigfoot stories? Check. UFO encounters and more? Check. So join me once a month where I will delve into people's true encounters. Like I said, something strange is occurring in America's national parks. Welcome to the Missing 411 Spooky Island Radio Case Files. Welcome back, everyone, to another week of the Missing 411 Case Files. Lizzie, I literally just started and she just tried to jump on the laptop. So she's been sat next to me on the laptop box for 15-20 minutes. And the second I said welcome to a new episode of Missing 411 Case Files, she jumped on the laptop. So apologies for that. Second time, we'll try it again. And she's going to jump down off the table. There we go. Welcome back, everybody, to my latest episode of the Missing 411 Case Files. Firstly, I just want to thank everybody for listening and sharing these episodes. My most downloaded episodes out of everything I've ever done. Some of the episodes are hitting triple figures now, which might not sound like a lot to a lot of podcasters. You see all these stories about people getting quadruple numbers per episode, like after being doing it for just a couple of months. But mine's a bit of a slow burner, so I'm starting these ones really taking off. So yeah, glad you're enjoying them just as much as I'm enjoying researching them. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll see that I've had a bit of a rough week this week with a family member passing away. So I've had to kind of rush all this together a little bit. But hopefully it's still just as detailed and high quality as the previous episodes. I think so, because actually I was in college today writing this. And let's just say for the first half of the day I didn't really pay much attention to what was going on because I was writing this, so I could get it out today. But yeah, hope you enjoy it. And thank you to everybody who messaged me on Instagram with kind words. And yeah, it was nice to see all the people I've spoken to since I started Spooky Island Radio thing, getting in touch. So yeah, thank you everybody who did. I appreciate it. And let's just use that opportunity to say follow me on Instagram if you're not already, and TikTok. I'm basically doing memes and funny things on TikTok. Just posting a few of them on Instagram, keeping the Instagram more profesh. But yeah, all the memes and the funny things go to Spooky Island Radio on TikTok. Let's get straight into the story because Mark is sleeping in the other room and I want to get this recorded before he wakes up. So let's go. Right, so like I said in the previous Case Files episode, this week I'm investigating the Rocky Mountain National Park in the state of Colorado. Now this place is absolutely huge. The Rocky Mountain National Park is around 415 square miles, so that's about 265,000 acres, and it encompasses a spectacular range of mountain environments, from meadows to glistening alpine lakes and up to towering mountain peaks, with particularly large peaks to mention the Mount Elbert, Mount Massive. And when I fucking read that, I thought, they didn't think much when they were naming that mountain, did they? Mount Massive, are they fucking joking? And Mount Harvard's, they're like the three that I seen were the ones of note in the park. The Rocky Mountain National Park itself is one of the highest national parks in the nation, with elevations from about 7,860 feet to anywhere between that and 14,000 feet. And there's over 60 mountain peaks or over 12,000 feet high. Some world-renowned scenery there. I'll have to take your word for it because, like I say, I've never been there. But the photos do look spectacular. So we get this amazing scenery due to ancient glaciers that carved the topography into an amazing range of these ecological zones. And what you see with short distances at Rocky National Park is similar to the wider landscape changes seen on a drive from Denver to North Alaska. And that was Denver, not Denta, as I said. Can't speak, it's been a very long day. But yeah, so for many, many years, Colorado served as home to a wide array of indigenous tribes whose descendants continue to carry on the traditions today. While Denver, before it had its name, long served as a gathering point for many cultures, things would change forever in the summer of 1858 when a small group of prospectors from Georgia crossed the Great Plains of the Colorado Territory and made a region-changing discovery at the base of the Rocky Mountains. And of course, that's gold. And although not much of the precious metal was found, the mere whisper of the word was enough to start a veritable stampede into the region. After all, the California Gold Rush had occurred just 9 years earlier. So, just from doing that little bit of research into the history of the park itself, it links to other episodes where it's a very spiritual and historical place, with traditions that go back a long way, and also gold mines and man-made mines and caverns where who knows what could be hiding. Could be nothing, who knows. But yes, now I know what you're saying. Get on with the disappearances and the good stuff that you're all here to listen to. Now, compared to other parks that I've covered, this national park has limited disappearances. But remember, this is just disappearances that we know about. So, the first one I'll be talking about is at the disappearance of Alfred Beilharz. Sorry, I'm just going to butcher that name, but and probably say it in a German accent every single time I say it too. But yeah, I am who I am. It was July the 2nd, 1938, and the Beilharz family had decided to go camping deep within the Rocky Mountain National Park as a summer vacation. On the day in question, they were going to Estesis Park to do some fishing and were hiking along a trail close to the creek by the name of the Roaring River at approximately 8 a.m. Alfred Edwin Beilharz was roughly 4 years old at the time and was walking along the back of the line formed by his family. His parents would eventually realise that he had seemingly fallen severely behind and was no longer anywhere they could see him. First of all, incredible parenting right there. This would begin a desperate 10-day-long search operation throughout the region, but Alfred Beilharz would never return. Dum dum dum. I messed that up a little bit then, didn't I? But what are you gonna do? His parents briefly performed a preliminary search to try and find the missing son, and when they had no luck, they decided to call in the park service for assistance. The rangers were operating under the assumption that Alfred may have fallen into the nearby creek and drowned, and so they proceeded to dam the river. The dam consisted of a fence line adorned, very posh word, with barbed wire, not so posh, where there was no way that his body could be carried downstream and not be instantly found by the team of rangers searching for the unfortunate child. And this returned no results. They dragged the bottom of the river for good measure, but also found nothing to indicate where Alfred had gone, and after 5 days, they gave up searching the river altogether. So, again, just like with the very historical, very religious, very primitive links, we also have links to the missing 411 cases. So, young boy vanished right in front of his family members and also close to water. So, those are two things that obviously we know from past episodes tends to be the sort of building blocks of the missing 411 cases. So, It's a very strange one so far, and trust me, it only gets stranger, so let's keep going. His parents told the rangers that they were certain he must have been abducted. They knew that their son wouldn't just leave his family, and they were unsurprisingly unconvinced that he had fallen into the river. At this point, the rangers called in some bloodhounds from a nearby Colorado State Penitentiary. And this is where the case becomes even stranger. So when the bloodhounds were brought to where the young boy vanished, they did pick up and follow a scent However, it was a higher elevation of around 500 metres higher. And this is obviously exceptionally bizarre, seeing as he disappeared when he was behind them, as opposed to in front of them, and as the scent trail suggested. More bloodhounds were apparently called in, and followed the same trail, only to lay down in defeat when they reached a fork in the road. The search was eventually called off after a total of 10 days spent looking for the missing child. Now, I know this is strange already, but actually researching this case, this is where I got chills all over my body. So, the day is July the 3rd, so remember that's just 24 hours after Alfred initially disappeared. A man and his wife were also hiking in the Rocky Mountain National Park. They had made it up quite far up the old Fall River Road when they got tired and decided to stop for a rest. While resting, they decided to look up the beautiful slopes of Mount Chapin, only to see a young boy sitting on a rock in a section of the mountainside known as the Devil's Nest. This spot was 6 miles west of where Alfred Balhatz had initially vanished from, and it is believed by park rangers that his parents that he would have been unable, or any child for the fact, would have been able to make that journey unassisted. Right, so. Oh, I need a breath after all that. That was a big sentence. I need to give myself some more commas when I'm writing these. I mean, you call something Devil's Nest. I mean, spooky things are just obviously going to happen around there, aren't they? The child, presumed to be Alfred at this point, apparently made a shrieking noise and walked out to look over the ledge and then left the scene. He just disappeared. The man and his wife decided to retreat to the car park, where they heard the news about the missing boy. And upon returning home, they checked the newspaper and confirmed that the photograph of Alfred Balhatz within it matched the child they had seen in the Devil's Nest. They promptly drove back to the park and talked to the rangers, but the rangers stated that it would have been totally impossible for Alfred to have made his way up to that slope in question, and that the rangers themselves couldn't even manage it under two days and without ropes and sort of climbing equipment, that sort of thing. They did eventually send a group of over 150 men to search Devil's Nest, and they came back empty-handed. And the next and final development of this case is just as interesting as the rest of the disappearance. So, on July 8th, so he's been missing for 5-6 days at this point, the FBI announced that it was performing forensic tests on a piece of soiled, quotation marks, bandage that had been found in an abandoned cabin in the park. The disclosure of this finding was prompted by the insistence of the boy's parents that their son must have been kidnapped. Now, apparently Alfred had a blister on his foot at the time that he vanished, and his mother had bandaged it using similar material. So, it is unclear what came of this test, but I can be fairly sure that nothing did. And I suppose it just goes to show, one day that would have been tested and we'd have had answers. But just suppose it goes to show how far forensic tests have come over the years. But that's the main missing persons case from the Rocky Mountain National Park. And I mean, my final thoughts on it are it's very, very strange and does have similarities between all other missing 411 cases. So, like I said, the boy went missing from under his parents' nose, was by water, and he sort of miraculously managed to teleport himself 6 miles. Oh, and the scent dogs lost the scent, so very, very strange one, I think you'll agree. And yeah, there was lots of twists and turns in that story. It's like something out of a film. Maybe they should make a film about it. I'll pitch it to Universal. Right, on to the next strange case. However, this one does have a more definite ending. So, 20 years ago, and I'm going to butcher this name as well, Alan Atterdero, that's the first and last time I'm going to say their last name, experienced a parent's worst fear when his 3-year-old son, Jared, went missing while hiking with a group on the Big South Trail in the Roosevelt Forest. just 60 miles west of Fort Collins. So this is in the Roosevelt National Forest, but from what I've researched, it's still within the Colorado and the Rocky Mountain National Parks, just a different section. But Jared disappeared on October 2nd, 1999, and sparked a huge media frenzy, and what was described by his father as a cult-like following with different people and groups trying to find the young boy. The story goes that about 1.5 miles up the trail, Jared ran ahead of the group as he was with and talked to two fishermen, who didn't really think much about Jared being alone, since they had told investigators they saw a group of about 50 to 80 feet down the trail. According to the Larimer County Search and Rescue Report, the fishermen saw of Jared, he was walking rapidly up the trail adjacent to the Camp 2 sign, indicating the second of 16 backcountry campsites along the trail. It is unclear if Jared was between the two groups or ahead of the faster group when he met the fishermen, who are believed to be the last people to see Jared before he disappeared. Some members of the 11-person hiking party reported hearing a scream. According to the investigation report, Jocelyn told Alan that she did too. Now, get ready for those chills, because again, this next quote from someone else on the expedition, it got me. Just like in the last story, it's just really creepy. So she was being asked about Jared's disappearance, and she was asked, what kind of scream was it? Like someone getting attacked or taken away? She said it sounded like a playful scream, like someone was going up to tag him. Just let that settle in. It's kind of low-key terrifying. Like, if it was a scream like he was getting mauled by a mountain lion, I could understand that, but like a childish scream. Almost like he wasn't scared, it was like playing with something or someone who knows. But yeah, I thought that was really scary, the way she said that. Then on June 4th, 2003, so what, about four years later, two hikers from Fort Collins stumbled upon what 200 plus trained searchers, a water dive team, a dozen dog teams, professional trackers, and a search plane couldn't. They stumbled across upon Jared's body, or what remained of it. Now, there is a lot more information regarding this case in particular, what the mother thinks about what happened. There was even a helicopter that crashed searching for him. So yeah, very, very strange. What I will do is, in the show notes, I will put links to the articles, because yeah, they're really interesting to read, but I sort of didn't want to go on too much because I want to keep these episodes short and snappy. I thought this was a good... I don't know if it linked fully with the Missing 411 cases. I don't think there was as much linking it to the Missing 411 cases like the first story I told. But I suppose he did disappear under people's noses. There was a lot of people there, and he just seemed to vanish. And also, he was found years later, given that, but he was found somewhere where a lot of people had searched, including, like a dog team who couldn't track him. So, yeah, there's definitely certain similarities there. But I'm not sure if it's one of the Missing 411 cases. I'll let you decide that for yourself, so you have to let me know what you think. Send me a message or send me an email to the spookyallenradio@outlook.com. Let me know what you think. I'd love to read out your thoughts on the next show. So, look, there are a lot more cases upon research and reflection, so I might have to come back to the Rocky Mountains at some point, as I want to keep these episodes short and sweet, like I said. And also, it's been a bit of a rough week, and I really wanted to get this out, so I'm not keep delaying podcast episodes, because I know you guys like it on the regular. So yeah, I'm probably gonna have to come back to Rocky Mountain National Park at some point, but that will be further down the line. And yeah, I think in the next episode of Missing 411 Case Files, I'm gonna look at somewhere where I know there's a lot of intrigue and a lot of strange things that have happened. It's not necessarily a national park, it's a trail. But I will be looking at the Appalachian Trail. Now, I know Jason from Odd and Untold has spoke a lot about this. Yeah, go check out his podcast. It's really good. And I've also been watching a documentary series called On the Trail of Bigfoot. And it's really interesting. So yeah, that's really good. I might have to do a two-parter maybe on the Appalachian Trail, or maybe just one big 40-minute bumper episode. See how it goes when I'm writing it and doing my research. But yeah, I know there's a lot of stuff that's happened here, so it's going to be really interesting. So that's what will be coming your way on the next Missing 411 case file episode. Got that mixed up. But yeah, if anyone knows any cool shows to watch that aren't just fully grown men banging sticks on trees, communicating with nothing, then send me a message. I love like these cool Bigfoot and ghost shows, as you probably can guess. So yeah, send me a message. Let me know of any good shows. And one last thing I just wanted to say was, obviously, I have a lot of American listeners. Oh, by the way, happy... I can't think of the word. Happy July 4th, Independence Day, to all my American listeners. I know this will be coming out on July 5th, but I'm recording it July 4th, so happy Independence Day. And yeah, just a little safety announcement. I know I've got a lot of American listeners. Obviously, just take care out there. When I was researching Rocky Mountain National Park, there was stories just from a couple of days ago of people dying, falling into water and stuff like that. So be careful when you're out, because it's not just Bigfoot, UFOs and ghosts that are out there to get you. It's just your own curiosity. So yeah, be careful. And remember to stay tuned for a full episode of Spooky Island Radio in 2 weeks' time, where I'll be taking us to Paris and the catacombs for a very spooky story indeed. So until then, thanks for listening, and yeah, catch you on the flippity flip. Bye.